turn this microphone on. And some of you have written out questions for me, and I'm going to try to field them first. By the way, the best answer book that I've ever seen on this subject is this little paperback. It's kind of thick, but it's a paperback. Well, the Evolution Handbook. I've never seen anything that dealt with all of the questions that you might ever possibly think of any better than this one. And so if you want to write down the Evolution Handbook, don't even know who, it's the author's name is Vance Ferrell, F-E-R-R-E-L-L, but you probably go on Amazon.com and you can probably find it. The Evolution Handbook, this would be great to put in the hands of kids. In fact, it'd be great to put in your hands because it's got so much stuff in it, just mind-boggling amount of material. Let me just mention this, and we'll get it out of the way. How many have been here for every one of the four meetings so far? All right, that's good. That's most everybody, and we're delighted that you came. What you heard is in print plus some more, and it's back there on that back table. They're $5 a piece, and the only reason I'm charging is because I didn't want to make a lot of them and then just everybody just grab them. And, we print these up today for you, and I hope that, some of you who are really interested in the subject and like to get, it's got a lot of illustrations and things like that in it. It's got all the information or most of the information that we've been dealing with and, that we'll deal with tonight. Now let's talk about these questions. Here's a question somebody gave me. What became of all the carcasses of animals and people after the flood? Did they just lay around and rot? No, they were decayed. Some were eaten, of course, because there were still creatures in the sea that would be carnivorous and would be predators, like sharks, for example. And many of them, of course, were fossilized during the flood. They were rapidly buried by mud and lots of pressure from all that water. And as a result, that's where we find all these fossil fields today. After the waters assuaged, as the King James Bible says, from the higher elevations, God set boundaries on the oceans. But underneath or on those mountains, for example, I was out at Pastor Laturco's church when he was in Wyoming. And his house was just below Rattlesnake Mountain. And he says, I want to show you something. So Cody, Wyoming is 5,000 feet above sea level. And then he took me another 5,000 feet. That's 10,000 feet above sea level up Rattlesnake Mountain. And when we got up there, he parked the car, and there was a little path, not very much of a path. We walked down the path, and there was a fossilized giant clam, bigger than I could put my arms around, 10,000 feet above sea level. Say, how in the world did it get up there? Clams don't climb mountains very well. And obviously, it was deposited there by the flood, and all over the world, we find similar things happening. The geologic column that we'll talk a little bit about tonight does not occur anywhere naturally on the face of the earth. It's only in textbooks. And in fact, we got a picture of it. No, we didn't have a picture. I thought we had a picture up there now. But it's only in textbooks where it is in the strata that you see in the textbook. Actually, all those fossils are all jumbled up. Now, there are deposits of thousands and thousands of dinosaurs and other creatures all compacted together where, you know, they ran at the time of the flood and tried to all huddle together, and then the flood overwhelmed them and covered them with mud and buried them. The other part of the question is, did they lay around and rot and stink and so forth? No. They didn't lay around, number one, but as they rotted, if some of them did not sink, there would have been a lot of odors out there, but there wouldn't be nobody around to smell it. Because only on the ark did they have people who were able to smell, and they were inside. I'm sure there was a few odors on the ark, however. But in any event, here's another question. Let me look at this one. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. What about the caterpillar changing into a butterfly? Metamorphosis is a startling thing that we see in nature. The most obvious metamorphosis or change that we see is the caterpillar becoming a beautiful butterfly. Caterpillars are not all that pretty, but butterflies are. And metamorphosis is not unique to butterflies. Many creatures go through various stages in their development. For example, flies were once maggots. I don't like either one, by the way, but they happen to be here. We have to put up with them. Mosquitoes, you've often seen, if you have a bucket out back and you collect it some rainwater, you'll see these mosquito larvae in there swimming around. And then after a while, though they were hatched in the water, they end up flying around. So metamorphosis is not evolution at all. It's just the stages that any creature goes through. And by the way, a caterpillar never becomes a rhinoceros. Okay? So it is never related to evolution. Oh, this is a good one. Let's see. God prescribes a means of proper sanitation in the Bible by burying waste products with a paddle or a shovel to be carried when one relieves oneself. Much later in history, do you think Adam and Eve went to the bathroom? Wait a minute. God didn't want to see man's relief. Wouldn't it be unsightly in the Garden of Eden? Well, yes, but let me kind of go a little bit beyond that. Adam and Eve obviously had a completely different digestive system than we have. First of all, they didn't eat any meat. They ate seeds. They ate plants of different varieties that God gave them for food and gave that to the animals also. So there may not have been any waste products, because if the plants and other things were perfect in their nutrition, their bodies may have absorbed them completely and they didn't have to have the processes that we have, because our body has to get rid of a lot of stuff, often that is harmful to us. And here's what I believe. I believe that in the new heavens and the new earth, we'll have bodies just like Adam and Eve had, and we may have a different digestive system as well, and we may not have the process of elimination. So we, I believe, will be like them in heaven, in a glorified body. And here's another question from the same person. Why were the animals created male and female right off, but made Adam go it alone before God decided he needed help meet for him? First of all, Adam had much higher intelligence than any of the creatures that God had created. He had, by the way, I think he had fantastic intellect. And as I said, I think on Monday night, there's lots of evidence in past ancient history that man had superior intelligence than we have now. And so I think that's part of it. Because he was intelligent, God waited for him to see other creatures who were all matched up. They all had a partner. And God knew that if he created that desire in Adam's heart, that desire that we call love, which most animals don't exhibit, a real bond, then he would say, well, wait a minute, where's my partner? And give God the glory when he woke up and there was Eve. By the way, Adam was the first man, and maybe the only man, who was ever 100% honest when he saw his wife for the first time. He said, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And I believe that the animals, of course, often have many mates. They don't just have one mate. And God, at the very beginning, made them male and female, brought them together, and established forever one man for one woman for life. And that is the pattern. Man now, of course, trying to change all that, and unfortunately, that does not glorify God at all. I don't know whether that's satisfactory to you, but that's what I believe about it. Another question. Why is it the evening and the morning making up each day in Genesis, other than the morning and the evening, the way a day is commonly counted now? I believe if you turn to Genesis chapter 1, we can answer the question right from the scripture. And let's look at that, if you will, please. It says in verse 2, it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So immediately we have an order established. Darkness, then light. And then it says in verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And then it goes on, and it constantly puts evening before morning. And I think that's because the pattern was set that initially there was just darkness, and then God brought the light. And so that established the basis for each one of the created days. The evening and the morning were day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. All right. Now, is there somebody who's burning with a question that needs to be answered tonight? That those are the only ones I got in writing. Yes, ma'am. Why didn't it, what? Oh, well, because of the fall, God pushed Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden so they would not eat of the tree of life and live forever in a sinful state. And of course, the flood would have obliterated all vestiges of anything that was existed before the flood. But I believe even before the flood, no man would be permitted to enter the Garden of Eden in a fallen state, lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever. So God put the cherubim out there, keep everybody out. That would, at that time, only included Adam and Eve. But I believe the Garden of Eden may have continued to exist for a while, and then finally, of course, the flood came and wiped it away. Any other one? Yes, ma'am. Did the dinosaurs die in the flood? Last night we had a living dinosaur here, and I'm still healing from the bites and the nails that were in my hand carrying that living dinosaur. But no, dinosaurs are still alive today. The word dinosaur, as I taught you last night, the word dinosaur didn't come into existence until 1841. So when people say, why don't we find the word dinosaur in the Bible, when you talk about the King James Bible, that was translated in 1611. 1841 is 230 years later. And as a result of that, we never see the word dinosaur in the Bible. What we see is dragon, behemoth, leviathan. And those are dragons. And like I said, every culture seems has a tradition of dragons. Dragons were nothing but dinosaurs. Men lived with dinosaurs for centuries, and we saw those cave drawings of dinosaurs and other evidences. And we also know that there are people today who see what we would call plesiosaurs or an apatosaurus over there in Africa and in other places in the world. A dinosaur, the word dinosaur simply means lizard. That's all it is. The scientists put that name on there to make it sound exotic and mysterious. And so when I had that lizard here last night, that iguana here last night, that is a dinosaur. It's alive, and it's a living dinosaur. It's a living lizard. That's all a dinosaur was. And in the slides right now, you will see some of the things that caused the disappearance of dinosaurs, but not all dinosaurs are extinct. Here they are, overhunting and eating, declining habitat. We see that today. Catastrophes, like the flood, of course, but other things as well, fires, etc. Lack of food, as food disappeared in a given area, they would become extinct, and then disease would have killed off some. The change of climate after the flood would have dramatically changed the topography of Earth, the geography of the planet, and some animals would not adapt as easily and over a period of time. Once again, man, I think, is the greatest danger to any living species, and we kill off all kinds of animals by habitat, changing their habitat, and all the rest of that. All right. Yes, sir. Yes. Were animals? No. Everything was vegetarian. Now, by the way, that's a good question, because people look at a dinosaur, Tyrannosaurus rex, and they see all those gigantic teeth. Or just look at this, for example. And what is this? Anybody know? Hippopotamus. That's right. It's not some dinosaur. It's a hippopotamus skull. And not a life size, of course. But giant teeth do not indicate flesh-eating animals. For example, gorillas are primarily vegetarians. You ever see the teeth on a gorilla? There are many animals that have sharp teeth for tearing vegetation, and they don't eat meat at all. So the presence of sharp teeth does not indicate that they were flesh-eating creatures. Between the original creation and the flood, all animals were compatible with mankind. Now, maybe that began to change right after the fall. In other words, you began to have death. And perhaps because animals now are competing for food, that they began to attack each other and so forth. I'm not sure of that. I do know that in the Garden of Eden and in the original creation, no creature was a meat eater. They were not carnivorous beings. By the way, in the millennium, the Bible says, the wolf shall lie down with a lamb, and there will be no more carnivorous creatures then either for 1,000 years, and apparently beyond that in eternity. Somebody else had their hand up. Yes. I didn't get it. Somebody repeat it. I can't answer the question because the Bible's silent on what happened to it. I just suggested that possibly it stayed around, but no one would be allowed in it because God didn't want them eating of the tree of life. Okay? Yes. Huge. Right. Exactly. That iguana we had here last night, his life expectancy is about 20 years. So all reptiles grow their entire lifespan. Not too many years ago, somebody found a large snake that was over 150 feet long. It was an old guy, obviously. And it was dead when they found it. But the bottom line is, all reptiles continue to grow their entire lifespan. If a reptile lived for 900 years, imagine how big that iguana would have been, in this auditorium. You wouldn't have been able to get him in the door. The same thing was true of almost all creatures before the flood. And then after the flood, the life expectancy of humans as well as animals began to decline until God finally had to put the brakes on it for man and say, 70 plus or minus a few. Yes, sir. I mentioned that last night that obviously God would have, number one, taken young creatures on the ark rather than the full grown size, because they would have lived longer after the flood. Even though there was great topographical and geographical changes after the flood, they would have had a much greater life expectancy if they were young when they got off the ark. And also, they would be more capable of reproducing after their kind, because they were young animals, not old animals who had passed that opportunity. Somebody else? Yes. I didn't hear that. Oh, yes. And by the way, there's no evidence that Adam named all of the animals that God created. God brought certain animals to him. He named them. But there were many, many other species that he may not have named. I don't know. And I don't know where they got their names. I guess, men later decided what they would name them. But God was trying to prove to Adam a point, and so he brought certain animals to him, and I think it was to see that he was without a mate, and he needed one, and one that he could be with for his lifespan. You get back to your original question again. Give me that, because I kind of got off on the wrong trail. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. It wouldn't matter. Their diet did not affect their reproductive powers, apparently. Just like, and by the way, had Adam and Eve not sinned, their offspring would have lived forever by eating of the tree of life also. But God kicked them out of the garden so they would not. Anyone else? Yes, sir. That's a good one. I can't answer it exactly, but this guy gives some real good estimations based on a lot of different factors that I don't have available to me. So I'm not a mathematician, and I kind of avoid anything that deals with math. Okay? Yes. Yes, sir. Did the animals what? I didn't get it. Oh, attack each other? Well, just like they do today, because the fall affected the entire universe, not just planet Earth, but the entire universe has been affected by the fall. So everything changed after the fall. And so, obviously, if they became meat eaters, they would have to attack each other or, you know, attack certain, one species would attack another species. We know that many animals today even attack their own species. Some animals eat their own young. You know, they have a brood of, no matter how many in that particular brood, maybe five or six animals, they'll eat a couple of them if times are tough especially. And some animals seem to be geared that way where the male will eat a certain portion of the brood that is reproduced. Anybody else? Yes, sir. You're going to have to translate that for me, sister. I'm sorry. I don't hear certain voices well, as you know. The same two tigers. Oh, saber-toothed tigers. Oh, what about them? I don't think so. As I said, all animals used to be much larger than they are now. I told you last night about dragonflies, for example, had 2-foot wingspans. We have fossils that demonstrate that. All animals were larger. However, saber-toothed tigers became extinct for some reason. One of those reasons, perhaps, that, you know, we have up here right now. So I'm not sure that the length of the teeth had anything to do with what they ate or anything like that. The same thing is true here. Now, in a hippopotamus, you have these two tusks at the bottom. Part of that is to get down into the mud while they're underwater. They dig into the mud. They dig up something to eat. And then they've got all the rest of this dental work to take care of chewing it up and swallowing it. Okay? All right. I'm going to... Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. The whole earth was populated. Yes, sir. Many generations had already lived and continued to live for long periods of time up until the time of the flood. If you will look at the lifespans in your Bible, you'll find out that up until Noah's flood, people lived up to 926 years of age. Methuselah was the oldest man in the Bible. Some people scoff at that and say, well, they weren't real years. No, they were real years, just like the 6 days of creation were real days, 24-hour time periods. All right, I'm going to cut it off so we take time. And so you wanted to do something nice? Oh, just go ahead. All right, where's the Meyer family? We're going to sing, and we need to get them up here. So, and by the way, everybody's going to sing this tonight, not just the Meyer family. You're going to sing all the verses. You should know it by now if you've been here all four nights especially. And put it up here. And this is that song by the way, can I say something right now? If you're sitting where you cannot see this, everything that's on the screen, you're going to miss a lot tonight because I got a lot of slides to show you. And if you could move out or wherever you can see the whole screen, that would be a help to you. And even with the words of this song, for example, especially like, doesn't matter. You should be able to get it by now anyway. I think my thing is working tonight. So, let's start with this. Everybody's singing now. It seems so unbelievable, and yet they say that it's true. They're teaching our children in school now that human monkeys once too. But I'm no kin to the monkey. The monkey's no kin to me. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. Although it's so ridiculous, they teach them now that it's true. The teachers who came from a monkey would be better off in a zoo. But I'm no kin to the monkey. The monkey's no kin to me. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. It's so much more believable, and surely, surely it's true, that God made man in his image. No monkey story will do. But I'm no kin to the monkey. The monkey's no kin to me. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. This monkey business has to go, because it just isn't true. It's such a disgrace to the monkey, disgrace to the human race too. But I'm no kin to the monkey. The monkey's no kin to me. I don't know much about his ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. All right, thank you. And we're just going to go ahead and get into the message. Once you turn to Romans chapter 1, if you would, please. Romans, the first chapter. Is that fan on? Okay.